They're gonna kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
On February 24th.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me. Then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters February 24th. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
If you must blink, do it now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Cinema Savants.
The answer to what is happening to you is here.
Your weekly dose of movie news.
I like this ship. You know, it's exciting.
Movie reviews.
Wait, that's not a monster. That's a man wearing shoulder pads.
And all those rumor kind of things that keep popping up.
The only thing we don't have a god for is premature ejaculation. But I hear that that's coming quickly.
Here's your host.
Look at me, I didn't invite him.
Todd Vandenberg.
If I'm not me, who the hell am I?
And Rob Steele.
I can't speak for the other guys, but I'm in it for the money. I don't care if you go to jail.
That boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to sail her by. All aboard, everybody.
Welcome to another episode of Cinema Savants. As always, he's Todd Vandenberg, and I'm tired. Because it's been one of those weeks. I've actually, you know, I know we're doing the show a bit early because of the President's Day holiday and families visiting and trips and everything. So, yeah, it's Friday. But at the same time, I'm trying to find stuff to put on the show this week. And frankly, there's not a whole lot of news out there this week, which I take as a good thing. At least I'm taking it as a good thing. What do you think, Todd?
I was not going to say anything for a moment and just see if you were worried that I had disappeared again, because that seems to be my yes.
I'm talking to myself again. Thank you.
Typically, overall, it's a good thing when there's no news in movies. Actually, movies are – there's almost as much bad news, sometimes more than good news. Not a lot out there, but we do have a few things to catch up on. So we promise you won't be bored. We will sing and dance our hearts out for you as we always do. We will have hijinks.
It's going to be a partly spectacular episode, like every week.
Exactly.
Let's kick it off with the yes-no kind of – what segment? Thankfully, this week there is no what. Because I mean, that's how dead a week there is. There's nothing to make me go, I'm sorry, what? but there's a couple good things. And one of these is good news out of the most recent Ghostbusters movie.
That
they have officially canceled the sequel.
Oh, okay.
It's that Kate McKinnon, who played I think the only decent Ghostbuster in the most recent movie.
100% agree.
She will be playing, or at least voicing, Miss Frazzle in the reboot of The Magic School Bus.
That could get pretty loopy.
That's how slow a week it is, people. That's our good news for the week. and I had to stretch to get actually, there is another good one, and it starts a bit of a conversation. They announced that Arnold Schwarzenegger will not be in the new Predator movie. So I consider that to be good news.
Arnold.
The thing they also in this article, though, was that it's in the same universe, but it's not really a sequel since none of the actual characters who have been in previous Predator movies are in this movie, which raises the question for me. Is it really a sequel if only one of the same alien species shows up? Or can it be considered a standalone movie?
Yeah, I would say it's more sounds more like a standalone movie. I mean, if it's in the same universe, but none of the characters are the same. I mean, we know the Predator isn't the same because, spoiler alert,
yeah,
in the original Predator movie. Yeah, exactly. So that ain't going to happen.
I think Predator 2 counted as a sequel because they referenced what happened in the first movie.
Yeah.
You know, Arnold wasn't in it. The Predator was dead. Everybody else was dead, I think, except for the girly girl they rescued from the whatever. But she's not in it either. But then you have crazy psychotic blonde guy who's Gary. It's not Gary Sinise. I like Gary Sinise. He's actually a very nice guy. Busey.
Yes.
It kind of rhymes in my head. came in and said, yes, Arnold went to a jungle and he found all this crazy stuff. It was weird, man. And all this stuff happened. So that would be a sequel as opposed to Predator, where, yeah, nothing is the same. They're on another planet altogether. So I think that could be a standalone movie and not technically a sequel.
I agree. Which I thought the Predators, it seems like there's been like 50 Predator movies at this point. Although I think there've only been five. If you include the Predator Alien mishmashes, yeah, which is really what they are. I like the one with Adrian Brody. It was had an interesting spin to it. I mean, it wasn't great, didn't stand out, but it was fun.
That's another one of those movies that everyone keeps, you know, ragging on, but I liked it.
I thought it was good.
It wasn't hideous.
I thought it was a lot better than Predator 2. Anyway.
I don't know. I liked Predator 2. I thought
I did too.
It
was okay.
Had the cast of Lethal Weapon. Did you notice that even the police captain was in the movie? It was everyone from Lethal Weapon except Mel, and they replaced Mel with Game Over Man from Aliens. What, Bill
Which
Paxton?
That's the first crossover part. You know his name. Who is now the bad guy in the Training Day TV series, which we haven't even talked about. Which that seems like a really odd thing to make a series of Training Day. Awesome movie.
I would like that.
How does that work? Where the lead character is just like one of the rottenest pieces of crap on the, you know. Bill Paxton plays the bad guy. And who is the lead? I mean, I'm interested in seeing it, but almost as much for just how far do they go into making him a son of a bitch? Do they, I don't know. It can work if they decide to make a limited run thing. But I'm really not sure how this can work as an ongoing series.
It doesn't make sense to me either. But then again, when they restarted Dragon Ball, actually, it was almost 2 years ago now, even though they're just now starting to filter over in translated versions. They came out with two Dragon Ball movies in, I think it was like 2012 and 2013. And when they restarted this TV show, they took those two movies, and season one, instead of it being an 88-minute movie, is a 13-episode retelling of the movie. Season two, same concept, only I think it's like 9 episodes. So they just kind of expand on everything. But even then, you've got more story at the end of it because the Dragon Ball stuff can just keep going. I have no idea where Training Day would go. It's not like there's another movie for it to follow, you know?
Right. And, you know, they could just take the characters and go in a different tangent. I mean, that's one thing we never talked about the TV show Hannibal, which when I first heard they were doing that and we're talking about Hannibal Lecter, I thought, oh, my God, that's just an awful effing idea. And effing stands for not effing. But when I finally got around to watching it, I thought it was terrific. It was brilliant. It was a prequel, which worked very well, and it spun off in like – it was kind of like a different universe kind of thing. But it still got to the point where it wound up where the film started. So very
– that'll do.
It was really, really well done. I was very surprised. But, it made sense where it came. And maybe this Training Day, they're doing the same thing. Maybe it's just the basic premise of not such a great cop. Maybe it's not the same character.
I'm just wondering how, if they end it where the movie starts, how exactly are they going to explain how Bill Paxton ends up looking like Denzel Washington?
Good question.
I'm just throwing idea out. You know, just
and I do like Bill Paxton a lot.
Continuity? We don't need that.
Duke, don't you want to touch back on Arnold again? A movie that he is going to be in is called Aftermath. I saw a trailer for it. Looks pretty good. And Arnold is a little older these days, so he's kind of moving away from action films. And he did a zombie picture, came out in 2015 called Maggie. And basically just a straight drama. It wasn't even much of a zombie film. Yeah, 2015. And he basically plays the father of a girl who becomes a zombie. And it's just and it's a serious film, and it's really well done. And it's just kind of examines, okay, if this is your loved one, how do you handle this situation? Because she's kind of and she's not like a totally mindless zombie. It's a little more of the self-aware kind of thing. And he does a really good job. I was surprised. And I mean, it's not an action picture at all. It's just a straight drama. And he does a really good job. So he is moving on to, I guess when you've been in movies for, what, 3-4 decades?
5,000 years.
Eventually. Yeah, Conan was filmed, I believe, in what, 4,000 BC.
Yeah.
After a while, it starts to rub off because he really was good in Maggie, and I'm actually looking forward to Aftermath. It looks like it might be a pretty good flick. I mean, and again, it's kind of a – it looks like maybe a revenge picture, but at the same time, I'm not sure that it is. It's the guy's wife and daughter are killed in a plane crash. They show you that in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler alert. And he's trying to track down the person who is responsible for it, and apparently it was an air traffic controller who screwed up his job. So it's not like some terrorist attack. It's just someone made a really, really bad mistake, and he wants to confront this person and get some.
Right.
I don't know if he even wants to get justice. He just wants to have the guy acknowledge what he did to his family. So it seems like a pretty cool movie. By the way, if you were waiting to hear our synopsis and our explanation and our review of John Wick Chapter 2, you probably ain't going to get it. Because I didn't watch it. I didn't have time this
week. I didn't
either. So, there you go. So we lied to you in the previews. So sorry. No John Wick Chapter 2. Everybody else says it's great. So you should go watch it.
I can tell you Arnold is – I looked this up. He's 69 this year.
Is it? Wow.
Will be 70 this year. So
did not realize that. I knew he was in the 60s. I didn't realize he was that close to 70. The man looks
not
good for 70. And he doesn't really look like he's had work done.
Not that much, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if he has, it's reasonable.
I can
tell
you this.
So he doesn't look like. Tell me this.
The video game that he keeps pushing. God. I actually tried playing that because download it for free and you can play it on your phone. So I did. And God, it's horrible.
Is it really?
It is the most boring. Because in the commercial, get to the chopper. The planes are going to attack you, and you're going to explode. And none of that happens. You don't actually get to see that. Go attack them. You were successful. Well, but I want to see something. I'm not going to show you.
You probably have to do a lot of in-app purchases to see those happy things. That's my guess.
Yeah. And no, I'm not going to do it.
No,
it wasn't that fun to begin with. I'm putting it in the no category with these other
two. A no category.
There was a conversation this week between who was it? A guy named John Campea and some exec at Warner Brothers whose name I'm not going to try to. I had enough trouble with Campea. Excuse me, where he said that Ben Affleck, make no mistake, he wants out. He doesn't want to be Batman anymore. And you know what? That's wrong. Ben still wants to be Batman, still likes being Batman. There, don't worry about it. Ben Affleck is Batman, so no. So there, ha. The other no, and see, like I said, it's such a slow week that I'm throwing the Star Wars news into the no category. Disney has announced that there's going to be a Star Wars Force Friday 2. Because apparently there's one already scheduled. Now there's going to be one in September. So basically, there's going to be a sale on merchandise for a movie that still isn't going to be out for another 3 months. So, wow, hold me back. I just hope I can get my Captain Phantasma not actually in the plot of the next movie action figure. No,
that
we don't need that.
That was a wasted character, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, they built it up, and she had, what, half a line? and did something stupid. So yeah, what was the point of having that character?
She was almost a red shirt. That's how crappy that role was, and they really hyped it, and it's like, really?
Maybe it's. But she's the first female stormtrooper that we see, so her armor is sparkly. So she's not really a red shirt; she's a sparkly shirt.
Yeah, she's a sparkly shirt.
Anyway,
In
the kind of category, I'm not really sure how I feel about this one. It involves an actor named Donnie Basco. You remember Donnie Basco? Not Donnie Brisco. Basco.
I remember Donnie Brasco. But not Danny Basco.
Yeah, yes. He started a Kickstarter this week. So he could do a prequel movie for Hook based on his character, and now you're going to remember him, Rufio.
Wow.
So I'm not sure how to feel about that. Hook was a very long movie, but it was good. Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman, very good take on the whole Peter Pan thing. Rufio was the head of the Lost Boys who took over when Peter went back and grew up into Robin Williams. I don't know that I've ever cared in the slightest to see a prequel for Rufio and find out how he came to be what he is. Do you care?
Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest.
Congratulations, Donnie or Dante. We have now graduated your kinda into a no.
Yeah, that's just that's exhausting. Just thinking about that. They have. What was the name of the Peter Pan film that came out like 2 years ago that disappeared in like an eye blink? I mean, it's just
there. Don't
Pan.
Remember.
That was it. It was called Pan.
Was it just Pan? Okay.
Yeah, it was Pan, and it's like great title because it lived up to it because it got panned.
But
nobody cared about it. Nobody cared about that freaking movie. And yeah, that just sounds like such a bizarre, awful
waste of money.
Yes.
If he gets enough money from a Kickstarter, then apparently enough people will want to see it. So go ahead and make it, I suppose.
Well, yeah,
I guess that kind of makes sense in a way.
Yeah, that's a good way to finance it because then he knows he has those 17 people who want to see the film and they can watch it.
I guess that works. I know something more people are going to be seeing. More news out of the Cloak and Dagger camp.
Cool.
They added like six more cast members this week, all for characters that I've never heard of, so I'm not going to bother with. I don't know the actors. I don't know the characters. That's not the big news out of this. They finally announced when it's going to come out, and it's going to be winter of next year.
Oh my gosh.
So all this stuff, all this fuss we've been making over it, and we still got a year and a half more than a year and a half to go.
Yeah.
So, never mind. But it will be coming out around the same time, allegedly, and this was just announced kind of quietly, really, come out about the same time as a Namor the Submariner movie.
Really?
This is surprising. This they've decided to make a Submariner movie. If you don't know the Submariner, think Aquaman, only put him in the Marvel universe. And I'll get to the differences in just a minute because I don't get that. They're supposed to start filming it in Hawaii sometime. They don't have a specific date. They have said soon. And for everyone who thinks, but Namor is actually a mutant and Fox owns the right to using the term mutants in Marvel films. Well, the idea is they're going to change him to being an Inhuman, which the Marvel still owns.
Right.
So
easy fix. That's what they've done with a lot of things. So that's not an issue.
No.
I had not heard that. Is there? Have they cast the role or?
No. This is apparently from Marvel's. I'm not sure what a CCO is. I know what COO is and CEO. I don't know what CCO. Joe Quesada.
Chief Creative Officer,
maybe.
It came
from a reliable source.
Yeah, that's pretty reliable. Isn't he still the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics in addition?
I think he is.
Yeah, I thought I mean, he's been around Marvel for, well, not as long as Submariner, but he's been around a hell of a long time. But
the Submariner's been around since, geez, like the 50s, I think. 40s, 50s.
Even. Yeah, the 40s. I mean, he's almost as, or maybe even older than Captain America. He's been around before it was Marvel. So, interesting. Casting.
Which raises a question for me.
Yes.
Because people have said, Submariner movie, really cool. Aquaman movie, not so much. And this is where I'm not quite getting there's a disconnect in my head with this somewhere. Because both of them have basically the same powers. They're both kings of their respective Atlantises in their own universes. They're both really strong. They're both have, you know, really thick, impervious skin. Here's the differences. Aquaman, and this makes sense, can telepathically talk to fish. He lives in Atlantis. That makes sense. The Submariner can't, but he does have these tiny little wings that grow out of his heels that allow him to fly. Now, explain to me why people make fun of Aquaman, but not the Submariner, because one of them makes sense.
It's easy.
And the other is the Submariner.
It's easy.
I don't understand.
Because the whole talking to fish thing got pushed so hard in shows like Super Friends and everything else, and it just doesn't really hold up to normal powers. And they downplayed the more interesting things, like the fact that he's incredibly strong and blah, blah, blah. Now, later on, they have, but pop culture just has not caught up to that yet. If the Aquaman film is good, it will definitely catch up to that. And other than the fact that Warner's is doing it, there's no reason to think that the Aquaman film won't be good, because I like the casting. I like the concept. They've gotten rid of the orange and green, which they had to. I mean, normally I would much prefer they stay with plastic costumes, but Aquaman is damaged goods because of that Super Friends thing. It was like, oh, he talks to fish. You know, he's the incredible Mr. Limpet, and that's, except he's not a fish, and that just sucks. So they had to change it up. Namor always came across as a badass because Namor half the time is fighting the good guys, whereas Aquaman is what is Aquaman? He's like the fourth guy in the Justice League. I mean, you know, it's like, and they've worked really hard to repair that image. I mean, they even cut his freaking hand off to make him more badass, and nothing so far has really worked. So,
which is tragic. Although if you get the chance to see Throne of Atlantis, one of the more recent DC animated movies, they do a very good origin story for him, and they make the talking to fish thing really work. I'm not going to tell you who the bad guy is, so it's not much of a spoiler, but toward the end of the movie, he's confronted by a bad guy who's standing in the water, and Aquaman kind of sends a little telepathic thing while the guy is monologuing. We learned that in Incredibles. Don't do that. Anyway.
Yeah, don't do that. Exactly.
And, you know, while he's monologuing, all of a sudden, an enormous shark comes by and eats the bad guy.
I think it's
a good. Hey, it was a beautiful scene.
I have not seen it. I will have to watch that. I like the Aquaman character, but I mean, just he's damaged because of years of that mentality, that approach that they used.
Conan O'Brien. Yes.
And you know, Batman was until. Tim Burton relaunched it. Batman was an extremely goofy character because the Adam West version had dominated, and it was, you know, bat repellent and all this other bizarre crap.
Shark repellent bat spray, yes.
Yeah. So
I think it was a combination of Tim Burton and the Frank Miller Dark Knight story.
Oh yeah.
That's more in the comics area though, because the people who did the comics were kind of like, you know, shark repellent bat spray until they saw this Frank Miller thing and went, oh my God, this is very different.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, that's what Burton based his movie on, was he looked at the Frank Miller stuff and went, this is cool, and made his movie that way.
And he couldn't go. And from what I remember, he wanted to go much further, and Warner said, no, let's dial this back. So
Right.
Which I think was a smart approach. And definitely want to give credit to Michael Keaton, who was absolutely fantastic in that role. I'm still not sure if he's the best Batman in my mind. A lot of people think he is, and I can't say he wasn't, because he was terrific in the role. And is not the kind of guy you would think of to play that role, but he was terrific in it.
Well, yeah, I remember when he was cast, I kind of went, Beetlejuice? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Mom? No, this. But, you know, it surprised me. Yeah. I think that was when I realized that even though you have people who are not quite pigeonholed into a character, but you so readily identify them with one person, and then you find them cast as something else and go, they can't be that person.
Right.
Like somebody, I'm not going to mention a name, but I used to do a show with him, who said he refused to watch the Lord of the Rings movies because he kept looking at Samwise Gamgee and going, that's Rudy. Like, no.
That's funny stuff. I know who you're talking about. Anyway.
A armor, not padding. Anyway.
And the funny thing is, Samwise Gamgee was taller than Rudy. Yeah.
Probably. Other two little tidbits of news. This week, the Doctor Who bookie thing is on again. Last week, the odds-on favorite is not this week's. There's a whole new list. The bookie's favorite for the next Doctor in Doctor Who this week is Tilda Swinton.
Oh, wow. I like it.
That could be interesting.
That'd be really cool.
And there's a whole new – last week it was a top 10 of actors that I frankly had to look most of them up. Richard Ayoade is the only heldover from last week.
Really? Wow.
And he went from number 2 to number 10. I kind of like the idea of seeing him as it, although, you know, I don't know. We've got another, year before they make any announcement of any kind. So
yeah,
we've got time. I'm sure next week, here's another top 10 of people you've never heard of. Yeah. Someone good at Eddie Izzard will be the top. Tim Minchin.
There we go.
Because I mentioned him Tim Minchin last week, and if you looked him up, good for you, because he's funny as hell. As soon as we stopped the show, basically, last week, I saw a news story involving Tim Minchin. He had been cast as Friar Tuck in the newest variation of Robin Hood called Robin Hood Origins, which I'm not sure we need another Robin Hood origin story, because I think all of the Robin Hood movies cover his Men in Tights covered his origin story. We don't need another one. I'm not trying to take jobs away from Tim Minchin, although I may want to take this movie away just because they have allegedly cast Jamie Foxx as Little John. I saw that come out later and went, I'm sorry, what? No, that. And it's not because he's black. It doesn't work for me. Does that work for you?
It can, but it doesn't. The whole concept doesn't work for me. I don't want to see another damn Robin Hood movie. I've got Robin and Marion on my DVR, so I'm fine. I don't need to watch another one.
My other thing, the name Little John was. Ironic, because Little John, not little, right? You know, big,
right.
Big dude. You know, go watch Prince of Thieves. I think they cast him perfectly in that. Jamie Foxx is 5'9".
Maybe they're going to.
I'm taller than he is. You know, and cast me as Little John. It might work. Just, you know, get short people. Kiefer Sutherland. There we go. Kiefer Sutherland is Robin Hood. We can keep. Tim mentioned his Friar Tuck. He's short too. And I'll play Little John because I'll be taller than them. I'll get Tom Cruise to be in the movie as the Sheriff of Nottingham. And I don't know, Warwick Davis as
there you go.
Somebody. I'm trying to think of short actors, and that's all I'm coming up with.
That's enough. Yeah, they kind of use the Force perspective like they did in the Lord of the Rings films and, you know, work it that way. That would work too.
That'll work. Seriously, I have been looking.
Tom Cruise could be in it too. Forgot.
The Sheriff of Nottingham. make him a bad guy just to annoy him, I guess. There hasn't been any more news this week. There has, but it's movies I look at and go, I can't bring myself to care about it. So I kind of blow it off. Nothing else to get excited about this week unless you play Pokemon Go.
And what happened with Pokemon Go this week?
Last night being Thursday, depending on when you happen to be listening to the show, they dropped the Generation 2 Pokemon. So if your internet started going really slow Thursday night at around 6 o'clock Eastern, that's because Pokemon took over the internet and everyone was trying to update the game to get the new characters. And they were like tons of new updates that went along with the game. It's almost like a version 2 instead of just introducing the new characters. So, you can blame those of us who play the game and those of us who sneak out during the day and catch more Pokemon than your kids have, especially the ones your kids want.
That's
and
just the
you know, when they come home, you can say, they can say, Dad, I'd really like to catch one of these sometime today. And when they come home, you can go, oh, you mean one of these? Ha 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 ha. Yeah. Cause that's how you do parenting.
Totally. That is absolutely how you do parenting. There's that laugh again. There's that Hanna-Barbera laugh. I love that.
Oh, well, thank
you. Every once in a while, it just pops up, and it's like, I get that little, like I'm watching Wally Gator again. I was like, it's the best part of the show.
Okay.
not quite the best part of the show, but, you know.
No, it's partly spectacular, just like everything.
It is. It is indeed. It's a partly spectacular laugh. God.
All right. So let's see. I didn't actually get to see any movies this week, but I did get to see a very interesting documentary, I suppose, which is very strange. It was a 10-minute documentary on a movie that's less than 10 minutes long.
Okay.
It's a film called Pearl. And honestly, I had never heard of it. I came across this documentary by accident. It was in the middle of a show, actually. It's been nominated for an Academy Award this year for short animated film. And if you're interested in seeing it, it is currently available on through Google Spotlight Stories and Evil Eye Pictures. And you can watch it on your phone or through YouTube. But I'm going to tell you this, because this is the interesting part of it. It would really help if you had something like Google Cardboard, which is the whole VR thing, because this movie is filmed, or computer generated actually, as a VR movie. It takes place in, what is it, a 70s hatchback. And we follow a single father raising his daughter and the adventures they go through. It's like I said, it's a variable length movie depending on where you're looking at the time. They've set it up so that if you're not looking in the right place, the movie won't continue. So it can be as short as 5 minutes, as long as I think 8. Really weird if you want to go, oh, how long is the movie? Well, it's this or somewhere in between. Huh? That's an odd concept. But you're basically sitting in the middle front seat of this car where this entire movie takes place, and you can look around through the whole movie and look, you know, what's out the window over here when they go past this? Oh, it's another thing. It's just, and they also do the family is musical, so there's a lot of instrument playing and stuff, and they recorded it with 3D sound. So if you're looking straight ahead, the music sounds like it's coming from, you know, behind you or whatever. But if you turn and look out the right window, you hear it in your right ear, but not so much your left. You know, it sounds like it's coming from where it's coming from. I think that's probably why it got, you know, nominated. It's a really interesting concept, and you don't need to have the VR thing to do it. You can just hold up your phone and move your phone around and watch this movie. So it's a nifty concept, and you don't need to download anything new. It, you know, it runs on YouTube. So
that is very cool. That's, and especially that it's on YouTube. It's like, we were talking pre-pro just about how movie distribution is changing so much. I mean, like things on YouTube, and Warner's has an app that they're pushing. I can't remember for sure. No, I don't think it's in beta, but it's the same movies that you could normally get from Warner's. But the flip is that you're watching on mobile devices, and you watch in landscape mode, unless you're a freak. But when you turn it to portrait mode, automatically that extra space is filled in by links to all the extras that you would normally have on your DVDs or Blu-rays, which is very cool. Cause then you see something in the film, it's like, oh, I wonder about that. And you can look at the extra if you want, and it stops the film and you pop right back into the film. So it's just another distribution method, kind of, cause it's still digital, but yeah, it's just fascinating because we're watching movies in ways that even 2 years ago we weren't doing, let alone 5 or 10 or God knows 50. So
yeah,
that makes me wonder where it's going to go. It's very, and of course the movies have to be good. So, you know, who cares what the method is if the movie sucks, but thankfully they are still coming out with good things.
I'm looking forward to seeing Pearl. Cause like I told you before the show, I finished watching this thing on it a whopping, 20 minutes before the show starts.
So right.
I haven't had it. It's one of those, you know, like I said before the show, hey, I need to put that in the show notes for this week. Crap, it starts in 20 minutes, run into the other room. But yeah, it looks really good. So I'm going to recommend it already, and I may change that next week, but I doubt it.
You'll have time to change it, certainly, because it won't take long to watch it.
No, apparently not.
We could watch it right now. It's 6 minutes. We could just do a live watch, which we'd probably go to jail for. There are other things that are going on. There were some things that happened last week or even prior to, which we didn't really have time to talk about because last week was so jam-packed. And we will talk about movie presidents before we – I think we should hold that for the end. One thing that struck me when we're talking about Oscar films, and I finally watched Lion. So I have now managed to watch every film that's been nominated for Best Picture. That's the first time I've been able to do that for a while. Lion was a very good film. Dev Patel, the lead, does a terrific job. You may remember Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire. Anyway, he is nominated for Best Supporting Actor, which I found to be odd because he is the lead in the film.
How did that happen?
And he gets a lot of screen. He's not in the beginning of the film because it's the story of a journey of a young boy. And then, of course, later on, he's Dev Patel. But he's in the film for over an hour. From what I've read, basically, it was strictly a marketing thing from the studio because they felt the best actor category was so crowded that he would, and early hype is really out there for a couple of actors, and that he would have no shot. And they just felt he had a better chance in the supporting category. And apparently the guidelines and bylaws, which are the bylines, you can nominate an actor for supporting actor or actor. There are no parameters of you have to have this much screen time, this many lines, whatever. So
that's
it's up
of,
to,
that's kind of weird.
It's extremely weird. And I think that's, to me, I think they've shafted Patel. I mean, yeah, maybe he'll has a better chance to win for Best Supporting Actor, but he's not nominated for Best Actor. He should be nominated for Best Actor. I think they shafted him by doing that. And that's the studio that did that. So
isn't that kind of like saying I'm nominating Mike Trout for the Cy Young Award because he won't win the MVP?
Yeah. It's about,
it just seems like,
I mean,
it's a concept.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like that concept at all. I think that's crap. I think they, even if he wins the Oscar, I think, I don't know. I mean, yeah, cool, he'll win, but I mean, he'll win for a supporting role that was a lead role, which makes no effing sense. So that kind of pissed me off. Something
it
else that pissed
like
me
it's
off.
Cheating.
Yeah.
It just
completely.
Like
completely, because he's got this this dominating role in a very good film, and he's excellent. And he's competing against people who have 15 or 20 minutes in their films, and they are supporting roles. This is the lead role. So, yeah, that's pretty effed up. Something else that I was not a fan of, I finally decided to give Supergirl, the Supergirl TV show, a shot, because a lot of people have said, oh, it's really good, you should watch it. And, you know, I've seen The Flash, and The Flash is decent. I've caught a little bit of Arrow. It's decent. I'm not sold on either one, but they're not bad. So I just – and I just happened to flip it on because I was flipping through channels, so I didn't start at the beginning. And I don't have to. I don't have to at all.
No.
Because they're in a fight scene with whatever random-ass villain, and they finally figure – oh, Martian Manhunter was involved, and they're looking for a white Martian who is a spy, and he's come down to wreak havoc. So they're trying to figure out, you know, and Martians, of course, are not particularly partial to fire. Fire doesn't do well with Martians. So,
which is weird.
Yeah, which is a weird thing. And but they've held it over.
That was set up in the DC universe like decades ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not sure
and
why.
They've fixed it where it's not like the Manhunter's like you flip a match at him and he runs away and hides. It harms him, but it's not like he actually absolutely shuts down, which is how it used to be. Anyway, so they reveal the Martian because they're just putting people's hands over a flame. Like, high enough, it's not going to burn you, but you would react. And so the white Martian is like, okay, I'm not going to do this. So then the white Martian gets this thing, which is basically like a Bunsen burner. It's not a freaking flamethrower. It's like a Bunsen burner. And he's waving it around at people, and Supergirl ducks. And that's when I turned it off. It's Supergirl. And Supergirl can't handle a Bunsen burner. I was like, okay, I don't need to watch this show anymore. I was like, oh, my God. Just really? Your writing staff is that freaking pathetic? You cannot figure out a better way to work that situation of her duck from a – oh, my God.
Well, it kind of goes back to the oldie Superman show where – we're going to shoot the gun at you, bang, 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 and he stands there with his hands on his hips as the bullets fly off. And then I've run out of bullets. I'm going to throw the gun, and he ducks. And you go.
And he ducks exactly. And that's the problem because that was stupid, but that was also like 1954.
That's true.
You probably should have figured something out in the interim of those ongoing six decades. So
it
holy
was
shit.
Probably an actress reaction.
And.
You know.
The showrunners and producers and directors are so crappy they couldn't figure out that doesn't work. And like I said, I don't ever have to watch it again. So it saves me a lot of time because there are a lot of good shows out there. So I don't have to worry about watching Supergirl or Supergirl ducks. It's like, oh my God, what a piece of garbage.
Until they do the Supergirl Flash crossover again, where it's coming, it's the musical episode.
Oh God.
I really wish I was making that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That needs to not be a thing ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, that's pretty horrifying. I did manage to catch a couple movies this week. Not John Wick 2, because that's how I am.
Well,
but I did watch, because I was staying at home, so I did watch Where to Invade Next, which for whatever reason I never got at the theaters as Michael Moore's latest. Like, I refer to them as docu-comedies. And this was
documentary.
Where he, and of course his concept was like, we're invading countries all the time. So why don't we invade a country that has something we really, really want? So he goes on his own little personal journey and he goes to various, a lot of European countries, but not always. He goes to countries and where they have like free college. And like he went to Slovenia because there's a university there which has free college for anybody. And there are about 160 courses, and they're taught in English. So no reason to pay any money for your college degree. Just go to Slovenia and get your degree because there's 160 courses taught in English and free healthcare and, you know, and all these things. It was very funny, but it was also scary how so many countries managed to do things right. And here we are. And, of course, that was the whole point of the film. So it's a very good film. It is quite funny. If you are a Trump follower, I think it's still a good idea to watch the film because maybe you will realize that, oh, look, Because the big problem is with that concept is when people say, oh, yeah, well, look what their taxes are. It's like, guess what? If college is free and medicine is free, you don't need a huge take-home salary because you're paying for it one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like, hello? Who cares? Okay, your tax load is 20%, but you got to pay, gee, what are you spending to pay your kids to school? $60,000 if you're lucky for their degree?
Yeah.
And what are you paying for? What are you paying for health care? And what are you paying for retirement? And it, you know, just goes on and on and on and on. And it's like, I'm perfectly fine if our tax rate, if 40% of my money was gone in taxes, if college was free and medicine was free. And it's all disposable income at that point. It's like, wake the hell up. Anyway, it's a very good film. And
coming up on the next watch show.
Worth watching. Yeah, no kidding.
So let's invade Canada because they have a much cooler prime minister than we do.
Oh, my God. Much, much cooler leader. And it was funny because then he would plant an American flag and claim that country for America because he liked their idea and he was going to steal it. It was there are a lot of very funny moments, and there's also some moments that are like, man, this really sucks that these countries have figured this out and we haven't. So very, very good flick.
Yeah.
Something I'm excited about. I guess I'll talk about the other thing that I watched. I did see Girlfriend's Day, not Girlfriend Day, which I stupidly put in the teaser for the show. It's Girlfriend's Day. It's on Netflix. It just came out, I think, a couple days ago with Bob Odenkirk. Extremely weird, strange, funny, dark comedy. It's basically kind of a takeoff of the old hard-boiled noir private detective. So it's right up your alley, except he's a greeting card writer. He's a greeting card writer, and he's a failed greeting card writer. And he gets involved in murder and all sorts of odd things. It's a very cool film, very funny. It's definitely worth watching. It's also an hour and 10 minutes long.
Murder he wrote, but on a card.
In a really weird Bob Odenkirk way, too. Very strange. And it plays around a lot with the conventions, cops beating people, and things just don't play out the way they normally would in a movie like this. I'll just put up bad cops, not like just run-of-the-mill cops. This is a cop who's gone rogue, et cetera, et cetera. So they portray cops as bad people. But a very cool. And the fact that it was an hour and 10 minutes, I thought was really interesting because we talked about this a little bit beforehand, is that's one of the cool things about all these streaming services. They're not tied into time slots. If the story takes an hour and 10 minutes to tell, that's it. It's a 70-minute story. They don't have to pad it out so it'll fit in the two-hour time slot, and then you take away the 40-odd minutes for the commercials that are going to be in it. So they don't have to make a 100-minute movie. They can make a 70-minute movie if that's what the story is. And we're seeing that more and more. I mean, Walking Dead, they've had some hour-and-a-half episodes. I think they actually had like an hour and 15-minute episode. I like it. I mean, if the story is this long, that's what they're going to do. And I think that's very cool. And you see that in a lot of their individual episodes where some of the episodes are 45 minutes. Some episodes are like Stranger Things, shows like that, where maybe the story doesn't fit that weird little pattern. It's got to be 58 minutes long. Hey, if there's 52 minutes of story, that's how long it is. If there's 47 minutes, if there's an hour and 10 minutes, I think that's very, very cool. And that's kind of an overlooked bonus to streaming, is that we get tighter, more well-told stories now. I think that's a big bonus. Unless, of course, it's the latest Adam Sandler movie on Netflix, in which case, you know, who cares how long it is, because I ain't going to watch it.
Right. if it's a new Adam Sandler movie, I can tell you one thing about it already. It's too long.
That's true. And that's a lot of the things that Netflix is doing and Amazon is doing. They're doing some great original programming, a lot of it. But the downside is Adam Sandler. So I wonder how many movies. He's got a 6-movie deal. I think he's up to, this might be his third. I'm hoping it's his fourth, because that's, it
well,
doesn't
fifth,
affect me because
one.
I'm not watching it. But then the money's gone and they can go on to something else. Jeez.
Yeah, they've got to sign Chris Hardwick because, you know, He's the next big thing.
He is. Oh my God. Yeah. I think he's got another show already. I don't even want to talk about
Chris Hardwick, Chris Pine, and
Chris Evans.
Chris Sarandon. And so you just have them all call the show Chris.
A throwback.
Well, you know, he's the one who gathers them. He's kind of like Charlie. And we'll call it Chris's Angels, and then have Chris Angel be a guest star.
Chris, God, oh my head is
does that work?
Hurting and my head is hurting and spinning at the same time, but in a good way. In a very
have
good
I
way.
Just made a new show?
Yes, you probably have. God, I hope Chris Hardwick doesn't listen to this because he's already writing notes right now. He's talking to his producers. We got to get this done.
Oh,
this is
late.
Brilliant.
I'm tweeting him now as soon as I finish catching this Pokemon that wandered by.
How lovely. One more thing that I wanted to mention before we move on, unless you have something you wanted to mention before we move on. Samurai Jack. Were you a fan of Samurai Jack back in the day?
Not particularly, because I think Genndy Tartakovsky has kind of screwed up the animation industry in that a lot, and by a lot, I mean damn near everything has turned into his style of animation, which for Samurai Jack, it worked.
Right.
For Lucky, on the box of my Lucky Charms, it doesn't. or Bugs Bunny. They rebooted Bugs Bunny as a Genndy Tartakovsky style thing, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Because everybody is freaking square. And no, I don't need 8-bit Bugs Bunny. Draw him.
Right. But is that his
anyway,
fault?
Anyway, Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack, I mean, I didn't even watch the whole series. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like one of my super favorites. But it is cool that it is coming back, and it's going to be on Adult Swim, and Tartakovsky will be doing it. I liked Dexter's Laboratory better and the Powerpuff Girls. I liked those shows better.
Powerpuff Girls. But actually, they brought them back, too.
Yeah, they did. And I have not seen the rebooted version of the Powerpuff Girls. So I have no idea if it's that would be worth investigating at some point, because I've heard good things about it, but I don't know. I wonder if Tartakovsky is one of the people that Mike Flynn was talking to. That would be interesting.
It could have been.
Could have been.
That would
of course that would be okay because he's here. And he's been here
for 40 years.
Donald Trump would not acknowledge that he'd talk to him at all. Oh, my God. I know.
Speaking of presidents.
Yes.
This Monday, a lot of people get to celebrate President's Day, which basically means you go out and buy a new mattress. I'm not entirely sure how that came about. But
Washington slept here.
Oh, well. Except, yeah. Ron Washington, he was outfielder for Atlanta in the mid-80s. I had him come over one day and said, hey, lay down on that bed. We decided to do, see if you get that rep, look that one up. All right, so decided to come up with our top three movie presidents. And I have no idea exactly where this is going. Number three for me was from a movie that we liked the original, not so much the sequel, and unfortunately he was in both. Bill Pullman from Independence Day, if you just count the original Independence Day. Very good, you know, good leader, made a great speech at the end, brought the entire planet together under one global kind of a global strike force against the aliens, which was a great thing. Not something we'd see in the real world today because we can't even get people to, I switched shows, didn't I? So Bill Pullman, great American president. Unfortunately he's fictional.
You know, and I would actually include him from Independence Day Regurgitation since, because he's one of the two only good things in that film. He's not as good as he was in Independence Day because the film sucks. But his performance is
his performance
very good in that too. Yeah. And actually he's my number three as well. Bill Pullman in Independence Day, because it's a great speech. And Bill Pullman, typically he's more of a comic actor, and did a terrific job. He's very convincing.
Unless he wears Torchwood.
he's very convincing, and he possesses that enough of that indefinable quality of what is presidential. He pulls it off. He's very believable as a president who kind of becomes an action hero, but he's a pilot and he's flying a plane, so you know it works.
Yeah,
absolutely. Bill Pullman was very inspirational and great in Independence Day. I agree. That was also my number three.
Number two on my end, Harrison Ford from Air Force One. Because how often do you get to see an American president held hostage on his own airplane and then turn right around and beat the crap out of all the terrorists? I mean, it's a Republican's dream come true. But it was a fun movie, and I think it worked. And I'm sure there's other American presidents that could have made the list, but I like Harrison Ford, so he's on mine. There we go.
It is. It's a very fun movie. It's a cool movie. One of the things, it just works, because again, it somehow manages to, and by the way, he's not on my list, but it does work because they managed to make it believable somehow, which is, that's really stretching it for a president to do what he does, but it works. It made it work. Wolfgang Peterson directed. It's a really good flick.
Word, I don't think it would have worked.
Maybe a few other people, maybe, but not many. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Right.
And he's in, it's a great role, and he's good. Again, he's not my number two. My number two, I went a little bit on a different tack on this one, is Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks. He's so over the top and so goofy, and of course he has three roles in the movie. But I can see certain presidents reacting the way he does in a lot of the situations. And the movie is stupid, but I really enjoy the movie because it's so goofy and over the top and nuts. And Nicholson is great. And I think of his three roles, I think that is his best performance as playing the president in Mars Attacks. Just constantly on the run from the Martians, who were based on Topps trading cards. So, yeah, I guess sometimes movies can be based on really crappy ideas and turn out to be good. At least that one was good for me. So, yeah, I really like Jack Nicholson in that.
Let's see. For my next one, I went to the absolutely, almost completely opposite of where we've gone with, I guess, all four so far. And this could have been on our Valentine's chick flick list last week. Michael Douglas as President Andrew Shepard from the movie The American President.
Yep.
It was a movie about actually being the President of the United States during a re-election campaign where we've got to deal with Richard Dreyfuss as Senator Bob Rumson, who is John McCain, basically, running against Michael Douglas, who is a single father president because his wife apparently died before the movie started, raising his daughter by himself in the White House. And he falls for Annette Bening, who plays Sidney Ellen Wade, who's a PR person. There's a lot of politics in the movie, but you know what? At the end of the movie, Michael Douglas does something that I would love to see a president with a brain do, and that's stand up and, you know, call out his critics and go, look, no, we're doing it like this. And if you don't like it, come get in my face and leave my girlfriend alone. It was a really good speech, and it was a good good characterization through the whole thing. It's a great Rob Reiner movie, came out in, what was it, 95. And, you know, if you get the opportunity this weekend, this is a good American president movie to watch.
And I agree. And Rob Reiner is definitely an underrated, underappreciated director. Sure, he is. He's done some great movies.
Well, yeah. Meathead.
And no one, exactly. No one ever thinks of Rob Reiner as like, oh, that guy does some really good work, and he does. My number one, and I veered far away from the Mars Attacks thing. I went quite serious on this one. Henry Fonda in the 60s classic Failsafe, and it's an examination of a president in extreme, a very tense situation. It's potential for nuclear war with at Russia, and this actually came out in 1964. So this movie came out at the height of the Cold War. And
at the right time.
Yeah, at the right time. And it's very tense and very grim. And it shows how the president needs to be someone who is thoughtful and doesn't overreact and is willing to gamble a little bit, but in the right way. He's willing to gamble on the decency of people instead of just the automatic knee-jerk reactions. Larry Hagman plays his interpreter. And Larry Hagman, which you never think of Larry Hagman as being in serious films, is either he's J.R. or he's in I Dream of
Jeannie. J.R. Ewing.
Yeah, but he's very good in this film. But Fonda is, of course, he was a tremendous actor, and he's so good in this movie. I mean, it's not like a acting school, film school for this is how you act. This is how a president should act. So. It would be nice if certain people who don't like to read but like to watch a lot of stuff maybe would watch that and maybe take some lessons from several of the presidents that we mentioned. Not Jack Nicholson so much, but the others, yes.
Right.
It's, again, there's a quality to being presidential. And all of them, except for Jack in that film, absolutely have it. And part of it is just being thoughtful and being smart and considering things instead of just being an asshole. So there you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And on the next episode of The Fwat Show.
There will be more to talk about. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe you'll talk about that
here
press conference.
No, next. If you don't know The Fwat Show, it's another podcast I do. I've been told it's a liberal take on the news. Yeah, whatever. I take a lot of liberties. No, I don't. I just tell things on the show that I point out stupidity. That's my job on it.
There you go.
And I've decided my next show, which it's an irregularly scheduled program. I'm going to not mention Donald Trump. Which means I'm going to be working a bit harder on this one to find other things because he's so dominant in the news and the everything by comparison doesn't look as stupid.
Which is quite true.
There's that.
There is that indeed.
So, what else? What other shows do you have coming up this week on the Happy Hour Network?
Perhaps there will be a baseball beer barbecue coming up, not tomorrow, but the following week. We will see if that happens. But that is in the talks, in the works. Later this week, which is early next week, there will be the Cover 32 Seahawks show, and then there will be Late Night Parents. And those are the only two shows I know for sure that will be on the network.
See, next week I've got another episode of Two Pages of Mystery. This time, Lieutenant Cooper Wright attends Kamapaloozacon in an attempt to get his daughter an autograph, but ends up trying to find out who killed the creator of a pagan-based television program called Bristlemoon. So it's a fun show. It comes out Wednesday.
I'm
having a lot of fun writing these.
Trying not to laugh at Bristlemoon. I don't know why I was trying not to laugh, but
I came across that name by accident and went, that works for like a pagan-based TV show.
It totally does.
It was one of those.
This show is copyright.
Two words ended up in the same place.
On the show. Or the property of Rob Steele. You cannot make this your own show, Chris Hardwick. You cannot make this your own show.
Unless you buy us, at which point, you know.
Bristle Moon is Rob.
I can be bought.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's been established. But anyway, I think we're done. Are we done?
I think we're done, and three more Pokemon have just popped up. So, yeah, I'm occupied.
That's all.
Good night, everybody.
Ariel, Opa, ride!
Do you think they will let me live in Montana?
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.
If you own a small business, it's not a question of if some hacker is going to attempt to attack your company. It's a question of when. Let cyberpolicy.com keep you safe. Cyberpolicy is the first end-to-end solution that combines cyber planning, security, and insurance. With cyberpolicy, your business will be protected against cyber attacks for as little as 40 cents a day. Visit cyberpolicy.com today and get a quote in just 4 minutes. Cyberpolicy.com.